You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
With you. If we've never met before, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard, and I'm going to be starting this morning with just a small confession for all of you. I am not a Colorado Rockies fan. It's not for not trying, okay? I've really tried. They make it so hard. I mean, it's an amazing stadium. We've gone to many games. But you know, really the kicker is it's hard to change your childhood allegiance, isn't it? It's hard to change your childhood allegiance. And in my heart of hearts, since the day I was born, I have been a Chicago Cubs fan. I grew up a Cubs fan. I've got blankets that my grandparents knit for me when I was a little child. And, you know, at this point, the only time I really go to a Rockies game are when the Cubs are in town, like in June, and we already have tickets for that game. I'm a Cubs fan, and I just, you know, I don't want to over-spiritualize it, really, but here's a theological thought for you. Out of all the baseball fans that you could be, out of any of the teams that you could follow, I think Cubs fans make the best Christians. Actually, I really do. I really do. And here's why. They were bad for so long. 108 years without winning a World Series. Think about that. Some of you didn't even know baseball was being played that long in our nation. 108 years. All we had for over a century was hope in the future and faith for a new day that was coming. Love keeps you with your team for over 108 years. I mean, my grandpa... Grandpa Faust, his dying wish was that he would survive and live long enough to see the Cubs win a World Series game. One. And he died and went to heaven, never seeing that happen in his life. In his entire life. And I can remember in 2016 when they won the World Series, I can remember where I was sitting. I can remember the little tear that was shed just down my face. And I also remember Natalie's look when she looked at me and she was like, I had no idea a grown man could be so emotional over a game that he's watching on a TV. But that's exactly what it was. I mean, this is faith and it's hope and it's love. And Cubs fans, this has been placed deep within them because it's the only way you can persevere. Otherwise, you would just pick, you would quit, right? And pick a different team, a team that's winning. And there is a phrase out there for this kind of fanfare. It happens all the time in sports. It's called being a fair weather fan. A fair weather fan. It's a phrase used to describe people who only cheer for a team when things are good, life is good, they're winning. These are fair weather fans, right? When the team starts to lose a bunch of games, you kind of turn your back on that team. You stop wearing their apparel. You're almost ashamed that you even like them in the first place. But when they're winning, like everyone comes out of the woodworks like, oh man, thank God I've always been a fan. I've always loved this team. It's like, no, you didn't. You didn't. You're a fair weather fan. And it's a kind of a silly example, I realize that. It's a silly example for us this morning. But just like there are fair weather fans, I think a lot of us are tempted, or a lot of us even struggle with what we would maybe call fair weather faith. That like when everything is good, oh man, praise God, let's go to church, we'll lift our hands, we'll lift our voices. God's providing for me, so that's when I'm going to give because he's providing for me. I'm gonna pray, invite my friends to church because my life is going good, so praise God. Let's go to church. But when the struggles come, when the challenges come, when your life starts to be shaken at its core, you know, it's really easy to turn away. It's easy to turn to anything that the world has to offer you, and there's thousands of different substitutes. It's really easy to isolate and try to live your own life and just kind of walk away from even gathering together. And I think our passage for today, really this whole series, but our passage for today will help us. It will challenge us, but it will also remind us that building a life with God is worth it. And there are things that we can do to build a life with God that will last, that will survive all the storms of life. Because truthfully, I mean, if we took a poll right now, we'd be 100 out of 100. None of us really want fair weather faith, but it happens. It can happen to the best of us. Today's teaching from Jesus points us to what a life with him can look like, a life marked by wisdom, a life that would stand the test of time and perseveres no matter what's happening all around us. So let's, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Matthew chapter 7. Otherwise, it'll be on the screen behind you. But Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 28. This is what it says. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock, though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand, when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Verse 28, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. This is a wonderful passage for this series that we've titled Storms. And it's not a literal storm like we've looked at in the last few weeks, but Jesus is using this imagery, right, of floodwaters and torrential rain and powerful winds to explain what our life can look like and feel like and even end up like if we live apart from God. And right out the gate, verse 24 teaches us one of the most important truths to what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to be a Christian. It teaches us in verse 24 that building a life with God means listening and following. Listening and following. Look at verse 24 again, because it's just straight from the mouth of Jesus. Verse 24, he says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. I mean, I think Jesus is doing a favor to us by making it so clear that if you want to build a life with God, a life built on solid rock, a life that survives the tests of life, the storms of life, we need to listen and follow. And a lot of people like to do the first part, right? We like to listen, but it's that little conjunction that's right between there that's so important for us. It's listen and follow. This is part of the equation of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And I think it's important to just recognize that he's making it so clear for us, both of these things working in tandem, listening and following. I just want to pause for just a quick second, though, because some of you might be here this morning. You could be thinking to yourself, like, that's all great, but it doesn't really apply to me. I mean, I don't really listen to Jesus much either. And maybe this is the first time that you've been in church in a really long time, or you've listened to some things about Jesus, but not a lot of things when it comes to Jesus. Or perhaps you listen to a lot of things about Jesus, but you don't really consider yourself a follower of Christ. And I just want you to know, if that's you, we're so glad that you are here. I pray that the Vineyard will continue to be a place where you can be introduced to what a life with God actually looks like. But over the course of our morning together, as you hear these scriptures, as we talk about a life with God, if you realize I've never made a personal decision to follow Jesus, but I'm ready to do that today, then we want to create space for you to do that later in our service so you can make a personal decision to become a follower of Christ. Now, as you think about that, again, on the front end, it's just good to know that it's not just about like hanging out at church. That doesn't make you a Christian. It's not just about listening to the teachings of Jesus. That doesn't make you a Christian. It's listening and following. It's actually orienting or reorienting your life away from some old things towards the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. It's listening and following, or listening and obeying. And what's fascinating about this passage, you know, Matthew 7, is that Jesus, this is the end of one of the most powerful and well-known sermons ever preached in the world. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And by the time you get to this passage in Matthew 7, verse 24, Jesus is kind of wrapping up this entire sermon with this summary statement. And he does that by saying, anyone who listens to my teachings and follows them, they are wise, like a person building their life on solid rock. If you like homework and you want to do something on your own, I would encourage you over the course of the next week, just read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's the Sermon on the Mount. Because Jesus taught all kinds of different things in this sermon. He taught about being the light of the world and the salt of the earth. He talked about sharing your faith and teaching others about the teachings of Christ. He said radical things about anger and lust and revenge and hatred, how these things aren't just things to avoid, but you don't even want them lingering in your heart. He taught about forgiveness and generosity that flipped their culture upside down. He said to pray and never give up, to not be anxious for tomorrow, or to not worry about the speck in your friend's eyes if you have a plank in your own. And if you take the Sermon on the Mount and you add to the rest of it all the other teachings of Jesus and all the other teachings that you would find in scriptures, you'll run across amazing things about mercy and compassion, how to care for the foreigner living among you, how to care for the poor. I mean, so many of these passages. He talked about gathering in communities like this or smaller communities where you can be authentic and share with one another, how purity and integrity are matters of life and death when it comes to following Jesus. How the DNA of your heart is even more important than the way that you dress, the way that you talk, or the way that you show up in public. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And if you stick around here long enough, you'll read and learn a lot about the teachings of Jesus. If you read the Bible on your own, you'll be confronted with these teachings of Jesus. But the trick has always been and always will be not just the listening part, but the following part. Will you listen and follow? I mean, in about 2 hours, there's going to be millions and millions of hours of sermons that will be uploaded to the internet that you can go and listen to from churches all over the world. Right now, in this current cultural moment, the problem isn't, do you have access to be able to hear the teachings of Jesus? That's not really, like, access is not really a problem for us in this cultural moment. It's following. Like, are we going to follow these things? Are we going to hear them and follow, or hear them and just kind of do whatever we please? And I love how Jesus uses a house metaphor with this storm imagery as well, because, you know, the best houses out there, they take a long time to build. And a real life with God takes a long time to build as well. It's not built overnight. We're talking about a lifelong journey of hearing and following. There's a guy in our church who's been in a small group since 1984. Believe that. 1984, been in a small, I'll let you decide if I'm like, if that's like older or younger than I am as a human. This guy's been in a small group since 1984. Same group of guys, and he would tell you this is just the best way to live. It's the best way to live. He heard that Jesus placed an emphasis on spiritual friendships, and so he started practicing that through a small group. And now he would tell you there's not a single storm in his life where he hasn't had spiritual friends around him to get through those different stages of his life. And when I hear this man tell his story, it's like, that's the kind of life that I want to live. That sounds like a life built on solid rock, doesn't it? There's another person in our church who has faced bankruptcy multiple times because he's stepped out as an entrepreneur. And while he continued to do that, he had committed to giving at least 10% of his income to the church. And even in the midst of unemployment, he continued to stay generous, even though it's countercultural, because he had heard Jesus talk about generosity and he wanted it applied to his life. I mean, this is spiritual maturity, that you're able to follow Christ even in the midst of hardship. So important when it comes to facing storms and building a life with God to not be intimidated by playing the long game with Jesus. You are not going to be discipled into perfect spiritual maturity overnight. No one expects that. Jesus doesn't expect that. You don't read about that in the passages. This is an ongoing process of discipleship, so that if we start this journey a year from now, we can look back and say, man, I am a different man today than I was a year ago. I am a different woman today than I was a year ago, because I'm on this journey of discipleship. Little by little, I'm becoming more and more like Christ. I'm building my life on the teachings, and I'm following the teachings of Jesus. This is so vital to consider, to just try as best as you can to zoom out and begin playing the long game. It's CSU graduation week, if you didn't know that. CSU students, we have a number of them in our church. Congratulations, well done. This is something worth celebrating at high school graduations, that's right. High school graduation is coming soon as well, so congrats to all the high school students. And if I could just speak to all the graduating students for just a minute, though of course this applies to every single one of us in the room, but to the graduates specifically, this is the kind of life that you want to build. This is the kind of life that you want to build, hearing and following. It's the wisest thing that you can do. It's the wisest thing that you can do because actually if you read this passage, there are implications to the rest of this scripture. And many of us have already personally experienced the implications that you read within this passage. You know, we should all know by now that storms are coming your way. They are. There's coming a day, and if it hasn't already happened or if it's not already here, if you're not in the midst of it right now, there is coming a day when your life will face the hardest and harshest storms you can imagine. There are storms coming your way. Jesus said in verse 25 that the rain will come in torrents. The floodwaters will rise. The winds will beat against your life. And it's this image where the rain is coming from above. The floodwaters are rising up from underneath. The wind is crashing in on your house from every direction. And this is exactly what life can feel like when you're in the midst of storms, that you're being hit from every single side imaginable. It can feel like there's no escape at all. And these kinds of storms, they're coming your way. And a room this size with all the folks viewing online, I mean, I have to imagine that some of us right now are in the midst of a storm that feels almost unbearable, that everything is swirling around you or even coming against you. There are still others in this room, and maybe you're not in the midst of the storm right now, but you're like tending to the wounds from a season of storms you just got out of. And you're trying to look back and you're trying to interpret, like, what just happened to me? What just happened in my life? I can't even put all the pieces together. And then, you know, praise God, there's some of us in this room, and life is just good right now. Life is good. You're experiencing a blessed season of your life, and we should celebrate. You should celebrate that. We don't need to like create some kind of storm. That would be really weird. If life is good, life is good. Praise God. But you know, if you look off to the distance, you might be able to see a few clouds starting to rise. Or if you've lived long enough, you can just kind of intuitively know and sense life is good right now. I'm going to celebrate right now, but I also know like there will probably be another storm in my life. There probably will be. They hit us all. The scripture implies that they're part of our life, that when you give your life to Jesus, storms don't magically go away. They're part of our life. I mean, we are just kind of broken and beat up humans living in a broken and beat up world after all. But this is why Jesus came. He came to transform all things. And it could be any number of things. It could be a health scare or a financial crisis. It could be retirement as that draws near, not knowing what you're going to do next. It could be having a baby or not having a baby, or having three babies at the same time. I mean, all of these things can create a variety of storms. A relationship could fracture and fall apart. Your grades could come up short. You apply for job after job after job, and every single one gets denied, or tryout doesn't go well. I mean, there's all kinds of different options. These are just some of the common ones. And Jesus, he was being so kind to his disciples. He's being so kind to us today when he says that though the storms will come, if you will fix your life on listening and following, the storm will not be the end of you. This storm will not have the last word. You're going to feel it. The rain and floodwaters and wind will come, and they'll come so strongly that it will shake you from the inside out. But the storms of life will not be the final word. Because as you unite your life to Jesus, as you commit to hearing and following him, he promises that your life will be built on solid ground. I mean, I can just tell you transparently, the number of storms that I have faced in my life, the list is long. I've asked all kinds of questions to God. All kinds of questions, like, why did our first nonprofit have to fail? I thought you had called us to do this thing. Why did it have to fail? And then, God, why did our second nonprofit have to fail? There's a lot of failure in my life. Like, I thought you had called us to do a thing. I thought we were stepping out in faith. Why did this have to fail? Why do those people I poured my life into and discipled for years walk out and say all those horrible things on their way out? Why did I have to deal with this medical diagnosis? Why did my parents have to get divorced? Why did my brother have to die so young? Why can I not feel your love and presence like I used to? A wise man from our church once told me, Jeff, the teacher is often silent during the test. And I didn't really appreciate that when I first heard it, but it's really true. These are wise words that oftentimes the storms of life can be so loud and so violent, it's hard to discern the voice of God in that moment. The teacher is often silent during the test, and we don't like that. I mean, I'm not praying for storm after storm after storm to come in my life because it somehow sharpens me to be a more faithful follower of Jesus. No, I like the times of celebration. I'm kind of an optimist. I like living in those spaces of life, but I want to be sober. I want to be humble about it. I want to be clear-minded about it all and recognize that storms will come my way. Storms will come your way. Thankfully, we have Jesus who has promised, who's promised to protect us, who's promised to never leave us, who's promised to get us to the other side and actually in the process redeem all the things that have been lost or fractured or broken in our lives. And we can't always see how he's going to do that. We need time, we need perspective in order to experience that. But he has promised to work all things together for good for those who love him and are called to him. He promises to never leave us alone, but we have to be humble and recognize that storms, they will come our way. You know, this passage, I just got one more thing that I want to talk about before we close. This will kind of loop us back to the beginning a little bit anyway. And it's that without wisdom, you do risk having a fair weather faith. Without wisdom in your life. I mean, you don't want a faith that collapses when things get hard. You want a faith that stands strong. Jesus said it's wise. It's wise to listen and follow. It's wise to build your life on solid rock. It's wise to listen and obey. Verse 25 and 27, they have two very different outcomes to this teaching. And I think in our humanity, we tend to think that the outcome is different because, like, maybe the size of the storm is different. Or we think the outcome will be different because of the intensity or the longevity of the storm that someone faces, even the frequency in which the storms keep coming your way. But that's not true according to the scriptures. The only difference in scripture is whether or not someone has built a wise or a foolish life. Verse 25, anyone who hears and follows is wise, but verse 27, anyone who hears but does not follow is foolish. And in reading this, I find a lot of comfort, actually. I find a lot of comfort in this passage because it reminds me that I don't have to live in fearful anticipation of the next storm. I don't have to be afraid of what's going to come at me at some point in my life. We don't have to live in fear about what might come our way because we can begin embracing wisdom today. We can apply the wise words of Christ to our life today. And it's interesting talking about faith and talking about wisdom and talking about a life built on the bedrock of God because there's this phrase out there that's kind of gained some popularity in the Christian world, especially since COVID. Some of you may have heard this phrase before, and I don't actually knock the phrase. It's a good phrase, but the phrase is faith over fear. You heard this? There's even like t-shirts and bumper stickers made about this. It really made the rounds on Instagram a few years ago. It was a really popular phrase, and it's a good phrase. God loves faith. Natalie and I preached last week about how God wants to grow your faith. And faith is contagious. It's inspiring. Faith is really, really good. It's vital to our walk with God. But in this passage, we learn a really important lesson. that it's wisdom that prepares you for life's storms, not faith. Faith is important. Again, it's vital to your walk with God. It just happens to apply to different situations. But when it comes to preparation, and when it comes to collapsing or standing strong in the midst of storms, wisdom wins the day, not faith. Wisdom is what sets you up for success weeks from now, months from now, years from now, decades from now. Wisdom says that, yes, life might be good right now, and we should celebrate. But because life is good, I've got a little margin in my life, and so I'm going to use that to build a life with God that is sturdy and strong. Or wisdom might say the opposite. I mean, your life might be experiencing the opposite, but wisdom might say, my life is actually falling apart right now, so I need to listen and follow real quick to see how God is going to rescue me. I mean, all of these things can apply to our life. And we have to remember when we're navigating this that biblical wisdom doesn't always feel right. It doesn't always feel good. Biblical wisdom is oftentimes countercultural, a bit costly, and people will look at you a little oddly because of the way that you're choosing to live your life. It doesn't always feel like wisdom to be generous when instead you could save every dollar you earn or invest it. But wisdom will prove itself to be true over time. It doesn't always feel like wisdom to love your enemies or to forgive those who have hurt you. And we all know the world is not teaching that right now. If someone hurts you or if someone does some kind of quote unquote unforgivable act, the world will tell you to cancel them, to cut them off, to move completely in the opposite direction, to protect your peace. But the scriptures say, forgive as I have forgiven you. And again, wisdom will prove itself to be true over time. If your life doesn't have a lot of margin and you find yourself running from one thing to the next and your calendar is always full, it might not feel like wisdom to commit an hour a week to church or another hour in your week to attending a small group. But scripture would say this is the wisest thing you can do. It's the wisest life you can build. And what's even more hard is if you kind of go through that and you commit to church or you commit to a small group, many of you have probably entertained the same thought I have of, is this making a difference right now? Why aren't I seeing the change that I'm inspired by the world around? Why isn't my heart being shaped quicker? Why aren't I seeing the outcomes that I'm so desperate for? Is this making a difference at all? Yet wisdom will prove itself over time. And without these bedrock disciplines in your life, without the bedrock discipline of hearing and following Jesus, every single one of our lives, mine included, we are at risk of having a fair weather faith. Instead, Jesus said the wisest thing you can do is to listen and follow. Again, not one or the other, but both together, is to hear the words of Christ and apply them to our lives today. And if you're here this morning and you just find yourself in the midst of a horrible storm, I want you to know this is exactly the kind of place where you can be surrounded with people who want to support you and love you and help you make it to the other side of the storm. I find that gathering for worship in the midst of storms is one of the best places I can be, because even when I can't lift my voice, there are people singing over me, reminding me of who I am in Christ and reminding me of this walk that I can have with the Lord. And if you are not currently in a storm, I just want to encourage you in any possible way that I can. Now is the time to build a life, a wise life with God, by hearing his voice and putting it into action. You will never regret getting closer to Jesus. Let's pray together.